I had made my decision. And I don't know if some of you guys know me pretty well. You know, when I've decided I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do it. And there's not much that can stop me from doing it. So I'd made my decision. And so I rolled up into the senior pastor's office, and I stood right in front of his desk, and I was like, "Hey, man." And he looked up at me, and I said, "I've decided to decline your offer, and I've decided I'm not going to take the position. I've decided that I'm just going to remain youth pastor, and I'm just going to be the best dadgum bivocational youth pastor that you have ever seen in your entire life." Hallelujah. And he looked at me and said, "No." Went back to work. I was like, what do you mean, no? And he said, "No." He said, "I need you over here." He said, I need you in the big church. And I need you at the new video campus that we're launching. And I need you on this side. So you're done over there. You're starting over here. He said, "I just need you to figure out what that looks like. If you're going to take the job that we're offering you, awesome. If you're not, then we'll rework some other way for you to be a volunteer over here. But I need you over here." He said, "So I just need you to go and figure out what that looks like." And I was like, what just happened? So I turned around and I walked out of the office in a huff. And I walked through the sanctuary. His office was on the other side of where ours were all at. And I walked through this dark sanctuary. And I just sit down in one of the chairs in the middle of the sanctuary. And I started to pray. And I was just like, "Lord God, if you just show me what I'm supposed to do and who I'm supposed to be. And if I'm supposed to leave my job and go all in for you. Or just what this looks like. If you just reveal that to me." And I sat in there and prayed for over an hour that day without even really realizing how much time had gone by. And in the midst of all that prayer, of me crying out to God, pouring my heart and soul out to Him, just wanting to know if I was supposed to make this big change in my life, and just laying everything that I had down before the altar of His grace, the Spirit of the Lord came to me and said, "Nothing." And so I got up, went back through the church, went into my wife's office. She was children's pastor, and shut the door behind me. And I was like, "Wife, it's time to pray." I was like, "Come on, pray with me, man. Let's just get together and as one flesh and one spirit, and we'll just join hands and cry out to the Lord together." And she was like, "Okay." And so we prayed, and we just launched into this prayer, and we prayed scriptures, and we prayed just man, God, move and show us and do this thing for our family and all this stuff. And we prayed forever, and all the people in the rest of the offices had to be like, "What is going on in there? They're having a revival in the children's pastor's office." And we spoke, man, and we just prayed, and God said, "Nothing." And I was very frustrated. Very frustrated. So I went home, and for the next 2 weeks, I did nothing but pray. I got up in the morning, and I prayed. I drove in my car on the way to work, and I prayed. I got to work, and I continued to pray. I would go in the server room at work, and I don't know if you guys have ever been in a server room, but it's loud in there, and it's freezing cold. And so I'd go in the server room, and I'd just sit in there and shiver and pray. "Lord God, if you would just show me what to do." And people would come in and be like, "What are you doing?" I'd be like, "I'm fixing stuff. Leave me alone." And I'd just pray and shiver. And then I'd go home and I'd pray at home, and I just prayed all the time. And God continuously said nothing. One time, Angela came home from work, and she found me in the yard in the grass with my head just in the grass like this. And I was just praying, "Lord God." And she said, "Honey, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm trusting God." And she said, "In the yard?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she said, "Does it have to be in the middle of the yard?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Okay." And she got down in the yard with me and prayed. And so we prayed together in the middle of the yard. And God said, "Nothing." And I fasted. I didn't eat nothing for days. I fasted. I rubbed ashes on my face. You rubbed ashes on your face. Anyway, that's in the scriptures. I rubbed ashes on my face. And I prayed some more. And I fasted and prayed. I prayed in the spirit because my voice in English sure didn't know what to say. So I was just praying that my spirit would just groan out within me. I prayed in the spirit more than ever in my life. And I just spent every waking moment just praying. And God never said anything at all. I didn't get any tugging at my heart to go in a certain direction. I didn't hear any like whisper in my ear. I didn't hear a song lyric that I just knew was the answer. I read scripture and none of them just you know how sometimes scripture just jump out and latch on to you and like, that's the answer right there. Nothing. No wise words from a friend, you know. I didn't get a text from Justin that had this crazy thing that said this is it, and I just knew that was it. I didn't get any of that. Nothing. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing to me, man? And so the time came when I had to decide what I was going to do. And so I decided to go all in for God, because I figured that going all in for God can never be wrong. I mean, I read the scriptures where Peter went all in and walked out on the water. And even though it turned out not to be such a good idea for him, the Lord was still there to catch him when he fell. So I decided to go all in for God because I knew in my heart of hearts that even if I failed, which I did many, many times, that he would be there with his hand extended to catch me and to pull me back up. So I decided to trust God. And through many toils and snares, here we are. Here we are. And this week, as I was studying on prayer and studying on God's revelations that he gives and on what happens to our prayers and why we should pray and how we should pray and all these things, I went back to that moment and I was like, Lord, why in the world did you have me pray all those prayers and never answer me and never say anything? And this time, I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord answered me immediately. And he just said this, I was getting you ready. I was getting you ready. Because I need you to understand this way, church, that a life in Christ is a life devoted to prayer. A life in ministry, and not just pastoral ministry, but a life in the calling that you have on your life, whatever it may be, is a life devoted to prayer. It's a life of full dependence on God. Because let me tell you a secret. The more you pray, the more devoted to God that you are. And I just want to say a hard truth, man. If you only pray a little, then you're only a little dependent upon God. And maybe that's hard for some of you to hear, but it's just true. And if you pray a whole lot, you're a whole lot dependent on God. Our prayer life, if you graft it on a graph, our prayer life is totally, like, linearly connected to how dependent that we are on God. And the more we pray, the more dependent on God that we are. And here's the craziest thing. So I told you about all this crazy praying that I did back then and just how weird it was and just how over the top of a prayer life that it was. Well, now, that's Tuesday for me. You understand what I'm saying? Like this crazy prayer life that I had never experienced before. It's like just a regular day of the week for me. It's a Tuesday morning. It's a Saturday night. It's a 5 o'clock this morning when I walked down here from my house to church just because I wanted to spend some time with the Lord. It's just normal to me now. What was so weird and extreme and radical, God was just preparing me for what a life dedicated and devoted to him actually looks like. I'm challenging you today to go all in for prayer. I'm challenging you today to devote yourself to prayer, to communicate with God. Not when you get up in the morning, not before you go to bed at night, not when you gather around the buffet line, but all day, every day. Every moment, before you do anything, while you're doing it, and after you get done, connected to him in prayer. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? And also for prayer. So we're going to start, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And I just want you guys, if you will, just to pray this along with me. We're just all going to pray it together and read the scripture together. Now, we're going to say debtors instead of trespassers, okay? Just so everyone knows, so no one gets confused, all right? If you guys would start with me. Our Father.
Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Can you give him some praise this morning, huh? Can you give him some praise this morning? Lord God, we worship you in this place. We praise you in this place on your throne. And Lord, we do pray that your kingdom come. Man, come back soon, Jesus. We pray that your will is done and not ours, God. We pray that you would provide all of our needs, every single one, and that we would not want for anything that's outside what you want to provide. And God, we pray for forgiveness that would flow through us and out of us, God. We pray that you would lead us into your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Someone asked me this week, they said that someone asked them, why do we pray? I mean, if God's going to do what God's going to do anyway, then why do we pray? If God already knows everything anyway, why do we pray? I mean, if there's already a plan that's going to be enacted, and if it's only just up to his, you know, decision anyway, then why? Why do we pray? So today I'm going to answer that question. Today I'm going to tell you why we pray. I'm going to tell you how to pray. And I'm going to tell you what happens to our prayers. The ending part is the best. What happens to our prayers is the best. We pray because Jesus prayed. We pray because Jesus' disciples prayed. If we're Christians, which means little Christs, was originally meant as an insult, but we just owned it. We're like, yes, we are. Come on. We want to be like him. We want to do like him. We want to go with him and be like him. And he prayed. Look, Mark 1:35 says, very early while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off in a solitary place where he... But Jesus often withdrew to, often, it says often, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places where he, come on, man. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that we may be, so that they may be one as we are one. My prayer is not for them alone, but I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them are one, Father, just as I am in you and you are in me. That's Jesus praying for you. Jesus prayed in thanksgiving. He said, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. Even Jesus blessed his food. Come on. Jesus prayed when he was in distress. My Father, if it is possible, if there be any other way, that you would take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. His disciples prayed. Man, Acts 1:14 says that they were all of one mind and were continually devoted to prayer along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all his brothers. Acts 2:42, our theme verse for the whole year, says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Come on. Acts 6:4 says we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Colossians 4:2 says devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert and with attitude of thanksgiving. Jesus prayed. His disciples prayed. Who else ought to pray? Us. Come on. Us. Man, if we don't pray, who's going to? Man, we need to cry out to God every moment of every day. It should be our lifeline. It should be our breath in our lungs. Should be prayer of the living God. We should do that more than we do anything in our life. It should be heartbeats, breathe, pray. Those should be the things that happen more than anything in our life. Our heartbeats, we breathe. Third, we pray. I mean, I'm serious. That is what a life devoted to prayer looks like. And I guarantee your life will be better than you could ever imagine. You know why else we pray? One of my heroes in theology, John Piper, said this and made this famous. He said, we pray because God can do more in 5 seconds than you can do in 5 days, 5 hours, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, 5 lifetimes. God can do more in 5 seconds than you could do in 5 lifetimes. So you try all you want to try and you go and do as best you can if you want to. Or you cry out to the living God and see what he does. And I know I say this all the time, but I like what Charles Spurgeon said, another one of my heroes. Charles Spurgeon said that I'd rather have one man that prays than 10 that preach. And it's true. Because look, God has gifted me with words to where I can speak and move the hearts of men and women. It's just true. God has gifted me to where I can speak and move and inspire people's hearts. But when we pray, listen, I might be able to preach a sermon that moves you to action. But when we pray, when you pray, it moves the heart of God. It moves the heart of God when we pray. And if the heart of God is moved, then He can do things that we could never even imagine. And not just can He, will He? Will He? He will do that. He will do that. He can do more than you could ever imagine. Number three, why do we pray when we pray? We pray because it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God and joy to His heart to hear us pray. I don't know about you guys, but there's nothing in my life that brings me more joy than to hear that little fella go, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." Dad, dad with his little hands, yes. Dad, dad, dad. And I come in from work and he's like, "Dad, dad." It's like, yes. And there's nothing in my life more fulfilling. And that's the way that God feels every time that you cry out, "Abba, Father." Every time that you pray to Him. Every time that you cry out to Him. And that's what He feels like. He's like, "My boy, my sweet daughter, they're calling my name." And He overflows with joy. Because He's our Father. And even when we cry out in anger, He still wants to hear it. The other day, Titus said, "Dada," for the first time out of anger. I was trying to change the little wiggle worm's diaper. And he's gotten stout. And so he was fighting me. And I was holding him down. And he was fighting, trying to roll over. And I was holding his little naked butt down. And he said, "Dada! Dada!" And even though he was yelling at me in anger, it made my heart so happy. It made me so happy. And that's how God feels when you cry out to Him. And that's how God feels. But we as humans are not known for doing things because it makes somebody else happy. We're not. We're a broken bunch. Ain't that right, brother? We're a broken bunch. And oftentimes, I don't know about y'all, but I do things just to suit me. So here's the fourth reason why to pray. 2 Chronicles 7 says this: "If my people who are devoted to my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land." We pray because if we do, God responds in mercy and in grace. Every time that we pray, God responds with mercy and with grace. Why would we not pray? Man, why would we not humble ourselves and spend our whole lives in prayer if we know that the God of all creation is going to respond with mercy and grace? Man, why would we not just hurl our entire existence upon the altar of grace and just spend all of our waking moments just in prayer to the living God, because we know without a shadow of a doubt that our Father is going to respond in mercy and in grace, that He's just going to lavish His love on us through that open channel of prayer. Man, why would we not humble ourselves before Him and cry out to Him in prayer? If He's going to spend His mercy on us with forgiveness of our sins, if He's going to provide His grace for us for healing of our lives and our land, man, why would we not pray? So why do we pray? Man, all those reasons are why. If that's not enough, then I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what else to tell you. Man, in this life in Christ, we need to go all in for prayer. We need to depend on Him for everything, man. His wisdom, His mercy, His grace, His power, His glory, His everything. And the access that we have to that is through prayer. The Lord's Prayer starts with "Our Father." We need to be dependent upon Him just like an infant is on their parents. Dependent on Him for every single thing. How many times have we prayed that prayer and not even really understood the implications of it? Jesus doesn't say to start the prayer with "Our King," even though that would be true. He doesn't say to start the prayer with "Our Creator," even though that would be true. He doesn't even say start it with "Lord," which would be true. Jesus says, start your prayer with our Father. And maybe you had a messed up earthly father, and so that's weird for you, but I'm here to tell you today that God is the perfect Father. The one that will never leave you, never forsake you, never abandon you, never abuse you, never do anything to you except love you and nurture you and grow you and strengthen you and inspire you and make you into exactly what you're supposed to be. And that's the God that we serve, our Father. Now, right now, you have a letter in your hand that we're going to write to God today together. I was going to use index cards, and then them envelopes just jumped right off the shelf at me. Like, why are you going to send a message on an index card? That's why we're writing them on envelopes, because that's what prayer is, right? Communication with God. So I want you to open your prayer to God with how you refer to God. Maybe it is Father. Should be. Maybe it's Abba. Maybe it's Daddy. Maybe it is Lord or King right now. Maybe it's Savior. Maybe it's Friend. I don't know. But I want you to address your letter to God, how you feel connected to God right now. And that's how we're going to open it. Just go ahead and write it down. Go ahead and write it down. Yeah, if you don't have one, Sean's got some there. If you don't have one, he'll be glad to bring you one. I know that I teach on this kind of often, but I can't teach this too much. I can't. I can't teach this too much. I can't teach about prayer too much. Last time that I taught this, I had a little acronym, and it was PRAY, and the P is praise, and the R is repent, and the A is ask, and the Y is yield. And that is the model that we should use in prayer. Our Father shows that we know who God is. Who art in heaven shows that we know where God is. And if we know who somebody is and the relationship that we have with them, and we know where they are and how to get to them, and that's through Jesus, by the way, because He is the way, then we can communicate with them, right? If we have a relationship with somebody, we know where they are, and we know how to get to them, then we can communicate with them. That's why this prayer starts like it does. We know who God is. We know who we are to God. We know where God is, and we know how to get there. And that's how our prayer begins. The next line says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And man, that's a pretty saying. I just love to say it. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But is that how we really pray? Is it? It's not how I pray. Not most of the time. I'm trying to get better, but you know how I pray most of the time? God, my will be done on earth as it is in Paul's imagination, and make what I think is best the reality, not just for me, but for everyone else too. Amen. And that's how I pray most of the time. Aren't y'all glad that y'all don't live in a world that is determined by the imagination of Paul Grider? If not, trust me, you are lucky that you don't live in a world that is dictated by the imagination of Paul Grider. And yet, that is how I pray. Dear God, make things like I want them. What a ridiculous prayer to pray. Oh, creator of the universe that hung the stars in the sky and makes the earth spin around, would you change this thing to make it like I want it? Would you make it so it's more pleasing to me? Man, that's a ridiculous prayer, and yet that's how I pray most of the time. How many times have we gone to God and said, God, I'm in the midst of a struggle. And if it's in your will that I struggle, would you just make me struggle even harder? Man, we don't pray like that. We pray much different than that. My question to you today is, though, how effective do you want your prayer life to be? Whose will do you think works out better? God's or yours? And I know on the surface it sounds like a really easy question to answer, but it's not in reality. Because we think that the way that we want things to go is the right way that things should go, because it's the idea that we had, right? And it's kind of like Carly was saying, it's our thoughts. We think it should be that way. And we get real disappointed when our plans get disrailed, don't we? Real disappointed. Man, prayers like this. Prayer's the opportunity for us to come back into the will of God. Prayer's the opportunity for God to do something incredible in us, man. Your kingdom come. Man, the kingdom of God just flow through all the earth, just surrounding it and just drawing us into your glory and your power and your peace and your understanding and your will be done, God, because I can't even begin to imagine what the right answer is, but I know you have it, and I'm just praying that your will just flows into the earth. I'm just praying that your power and your glory be revealed, man. That's what we should pray for. But it's hard to do because the heart wants what the heart wants, right? I mean, it does. The heart wants what the heart wants. But I hear in my scripture that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can fix it besides the Lord God Almighty? What I want you to write next on your envelope there is a surrendered prayer. It's a surrendered prayer. Ultimately, this section of the Lord's Prayer is all about surrender. It's all about surrender. It's all about us surrendering ourselves and bending our knee before the altar of grace and saying, you're God and I'm not, and I surrender to your will. And that's what I want you to write down next, is a prayer of surrender. There's something in your life that you have been holding on to that you wanted to dictate, and what I'm asking you to do is to unlock that and give that over to the living God and let him take control of that in your life and let him do what he would do with it. Man, that's what I'm praying for. That's what I want us all to pray for. So that's what you write now is a prayer of surrender. A prayer of like faith-inspired, spirit-filled surrender and giving over to the living God. The next part says, give us this day our daily bread. And this is the part where we get to ask God for things, right? See, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask God for things. You absolutely should. But we should ask according to his will. But we should ask him for our daily bread. But you realize that this section of Scripture is actually referring back to the Old Testament. It's referring back to the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel were out in the wilderness. And every night, listen to me, every night the dew that would form on the ground would turn into bread. And then the next morning, the children of Israel would go out and collect only their daily portion. Only their daily portion. If they got any more than that, then it would rot and turn into maggot-filled stuff, right? They just collected their daily portion, and that way they learned to depend on God every single day. And not their own ideas, and not their own ways, and not their own stores, and not anything that they could do at all. Except to depend on him every single day for everything that they could ever need. That they would realize that the water that we drink comes from the Lord. That the food that we eat comes from the Lord. That the wind that blows comes from the Lord. That the sun that shines comes from the Lord. That everything that we experience, everything that we need in our life comes from him. I mean, this part of this prayer is a full dependence on him. That when we pray for healing, it shouldn't be that we're asking God to heal. It should be that we're depending on God to heal. That when we ask God to deliver, not that we're wishing God to deliver, that we're needing God to deliver, that we're asking him to redeem, that we're not asking and wishing that he would redeem, that we're needing him and depending on him to redeem. Do you see the difference? And it might sound contradictory to some of you, but it's a fine line. It's a fine line. I'm asking you to pray depending on God and not trying to manipulate God. He's not some genie in a lamp. He's the king of the universe. He's not somebody that can be beguiled with lofty words and high, you know, expectations. And he is God. And he wants to know that you depend on him for every breath. He wants you to know that you depend on him for every beat of your heart. Man, that's what our God desires. And that's why we should pray. Next on your paper, I just want you to write what you need from God. What you need from God. What you depend on God for. What you need for yourself, for your family, for your community, for your world. What you need from him. What you're depending on him alone for. What are you depending on him for? What do you need from him? Not what do you want, not what do you wish for him, but what do you need? What is your daily bread? What keeps you going? Verse 12 says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, man. That's a rough one. Repent in prayer daily. Repent daily. You need to come to the Lord, come to the altar of grace, and lay yourself down and all your sins down in front of Him daily. Not for salvation. Salvation is sealed at the day of deliverance. Salvation happens in a second when you put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus. But sanctification takes a lifetime. And every time that we lay a little more of that worldly stuff down at the altar of grace, we get filled up a little bit more with the glory of God. And we need to do that daily. Daily. So that we can become more like Him. So that we can be who He's called us to be and do what He's called us to do and go all in for Him. You can't go all in for Him. You can't go all in for Him unless you seek His forgiveness and seek His face and just walk in His glory. Man, discipleship is an everyday practice. An everyday thing. Some things that are okay today are not going to be okay tomorrow. That's just the way that it is. One day I was driving down the road and God dropped a ton of bricks on me for something that I had been doing for years. I'm not going to tell you what it is, by the way. And I just had to change part of my entire life. Because what was okay yesterday was not okay for the rest of my life. So I had to repent before the Lord, and I'm better off for it, and so are the rest of y'all. Because God is good. But that second part is scary, isn't it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Does that mean that the forgiveness that I'm going to get from God is directly tied to the forgiveness that I'm willing to pour out on other people? Yes. Oh, that's scary, isn't it? It is for me. I've still got some grudges that I'm holding on to that are going to have to be let go if I'm going to be able to walk in the fullness of the glory of God. And so do you. Lay them down. Lay them down. Let it go. But actually, the next scripture right after the Lord's Prayer is Jesus Christ. And you know this one is Jesus Christ saying, if you don't forgive others, then my Father doesn't have to forgive you. If we hold on to that bitterness and that ugliness on the inside of us, man, it will kill us. It'll kill us. And we'll be the ones bearing the consequences of those actions. Man, I preached a sermon a few weeks ago where I handed out those keys. Man, y'all remember that where we got the keys? I've been getting them back like a regular. It's pretty awesome. I thought that sermon was terrible. I was like, it's the worst sermon I ever preached in my life. And then like every couple days, somebody's like, I got this key and I just want to give it back to you because I unlocked that door. Now I'm free. Praise God, man. Praise God for what He's doing in people's lives. Man, praise God, the word never goes out void and comes, never word never comes back void. Never comes back void. So right now on your paper, man, I just want you to write what you need the Lord to forgive you for. I'm about to take these up, so don't get too graphic to where it makes you where you don't want to give it back to me. But write down what you need the Lord to forgive you for. And then write down what you need to forgive somebody else for. This is our prayer. I mean, we're writing a prayer to the Lord, man. Write down what you need to be forgiven for. Write down what you need to forgive somebody else for. I mean, we're writing a letter to God here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever, man. We need to pray for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to pray for more of the grace of God in our lives. We need to pray more for the leading of Jesus Christ in our lives. We need to pray for more of everything that is of God in our lives. But let me put a disclaimer on this for you guys. Don't pray for more of God if you don't really want more of God. Because He is faithful to provide what we ask for. And so if you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life, He'll provide more of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then you're going to find yourself doing things that you never imagined that you might do. And going places where you never even believed that you would be able to go. And becoming this person that you never imagined that you would ever become. And it's all because you were like, God, give me more of you. And He's like, okay, here you go. And all of a sudden, you're pouring out sacrificial love like you never imagined. And you're in work just lifting people up and praying for people. And you're down on the streets in Nashville, Tennessee, under a bridge, singing songs and handing out hot dogs, man, and just praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, you look back at the life you used to have and see that it's completely different than the one that you've got now. Because more of God changes who we are. More of God changes who we are. Like I said, breathe out all that stuff so you can inhale the breath of God. But the breath of God changes who we are from the inside out. I've told y'all this before, but one of my heroes, A.W. Tozer, wrote a book called How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. And on page one, it says, before I tell you how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to decide if you actually want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to decide if you actually want a benevolent, all-powerful force to possess your body. So you need to be very clear about what you're asking for before you actually ask for it. Look, guys, going all in for Jesus Christ starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. Your life in Christ is directly proportionate to how much you pray. It's just true. So as we begin this movement for our church to go all in for the glory of God, I'm asking you to start with devoting yourself to prayer. Come on up, guys. I want to end with this. What happens to our prayers after we pray them? What happens? Somebody tell me, what happens to your prayers? They get answered. God answers your prayers. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says, hold your horses. But what happens to them after that? You think they just dissipate into nothingness? No. The first law of thermodynamics. Didn't know you were in physics class today, did you? The first law of thermodynamics says that energy can never be created or destroyed. It just changes form. Your prayers don't just go away. Revelation 5 says this. He, meaning Jesus, went and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat at the throne. And when He had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Church, your prayers are the incense that God burns in His throne room to bring fragrance to His presence. Your prayers right now. Man, if you got up and prayed this morning before you came to church, if you prayed before Grace fed you a sausage and biscuit at the coffee bar, man, if you prayed, your prayers are the incense that God burns in His throne room. Listen. God breathed the breath of life into you and made you a living soul. And when we pray, that breath goes out from us and into heaven and becomes the incense that God uses in His throne room. And what does He do with that incense as it burns? So the breath of life that God breathed into you, that brought you life, when you pray, you're breathing that breath of life back out, which He inhales, and it once again becomes part of Him. So just like Jesus prayed in John 17, my prayer, Father, not just for these disciples, but for everyone that would believe in their message, is that they can be one with Me, just like I'm one with you.